Amen. Praise the Lord. More about Jesus. Thank you, Connie. That's a beautiful song. Now, I promise you something. By the end of this week, you're going to be walking around humming that song everywhere you go. I promise you, that's what's going to happen. You're going to be humming that song. You know, God does that. He gives us a special song in our heart to help us through life. You know, I wake up a lot of times and God has put a song on my heart that I hadn't heard in a long time. And I thank God for that. I want my mind stayed upon Him. Because the Bible says in Isaiah 26 verse 3, I will keep him at perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon me. That's what God says. And so, we've got a good God. He's been real good to us. And I want to thank each one of you for inviting Cindy and I to come and fellowship with you and worship with you. Thank you very much. It's the first time that we've been to South Carolina, working for the Lord anyway. And it's beautiful around here. What a beautiful place that you live. And I'm hoping to get to know each one of you. That's my goal, is to get to know each one of you. We're going to get to spend eternity together, right? We might as well go ahead right now and start getting to know each other. And I believe that God loves it when we praise Him. He also loves it when we come to Him in prayer. You know, He wants us to call Him Father. Think about that. He wants us to call Him Father. You know how we love our children and our grandchildren, and we love for them to come storming in through that screen door and throwing it wide open and say, Mommy, Daddy, or Grandma, or Grandpa. Don't we love that? Love to hear their voice? God is wanting us to storm heaven's door right now, praying to Him. And I tell you what I want to do. Since we know that God wants us to come running up to Him in prayer tonight, I want to pause. I'm going to have a little prayer, but I'm going to pause. And I'm going to give you time to have your own little prayer. And I want you to storm the throne room of heaven with your prayer, calling out to God, your Father, calling on Daddy, calling on Father. Say, Father, and ask Him to give you a blessing. Ask Him to pour out His Spirit upon us during this week, okay? Because God gets all the glory for everything we're going to be doing. God's going to be glorified. And so let's storm heaven's door right now in prayer. I'm going to pause and then I'll close this in prayer. Loving Father. Father, it's so wonderful to know that You care so much about us, and that You want us to call You Father, that You want that type of intimate, personal relationship with us, that You've got an empty spot in Your heart that can only be filled by us, that can only be filled by me. You've got a place in Your heart that only I can fill. You've got a place in Your heart that only my brother and my sisters here can feel. Father, please, would You please remind us, would You please impress upon us how much You love us. Lord, as we begin these series all about Jesus, Father, please, we pray for the Holy Spirit. You promised, and Lord, we know that You keep Your word. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord, during this week. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank You, Lord, is right. God is good. And all the time, God is good. God is good. You know, about 12 years ago, my mother said that I had a Damascus Road experience. And I did. Now, I was going one direction, and it was in the direction of the world. And I met Jesus Christ. And I met Jesus Christ. And I want to promise you something. Jesus is sweet. And He's good. And He's good. And if we make it through this world, and if we make it to heaven and have eternal life with Jesus Christ, there's only one way that it's going to be done. And that's through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. There's no other name under heaven that we're going to be saved. Acts 4:12. And that's the reason that I'm not ashamed of the gospel. That's the reason I love to tell people about Jesus. I love to tell people how good He is. I love to tell people how much He loves them, because God loves you. There's nobody, nobody. God created you for a special reason. He created you for a special reason. There's nobody like you on this earth. We've got a DNA that we got even fingerprints that nobody else has. You are special to God. You are unique and special to God, and He cares about you. Yeah, I love what, Paul had a Damascus Road experience, I guess before I did. And he says, "For I'm determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And, in verse, that was 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 2. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18 says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Amen. There's something about when you realize how much God loves you, that's what does something in your heart. I mean, you can take this Bible and you can read this Bible here from front to back, and you can memorize this Bible right here, but if you're not studying the truth as it is in Jesus Christ, friends, it's not going to change your life. It could be a bunch of knowledge. You know, the devil knows the Bible front and back, but he's still the old devil, isn't he? Something's got to happen right here. Something has got to happen that we take this beautiful message, this all this knowledge that we know about, and take it from right here to right here. And I want you to know that can only happen when you realize how much God loves you. That's the reason this cross is the very central theme of the Bible. That's the reason it's something about beholding Jesus Christ up there dying for you that touches you right here. That touches you right here. And that's what changed my life and changed my life forever. It's powerful. You know, it reminds me of a little story that comes back all the way. A friend of mine, we were talking about the Korean War a little while ago, but even further back that, World War II, which goes way back. But, you know, there's a lot of memories and stories that come from times like that. And one of the stories I've heard that really had a big impression on my life is on the front line. I could imagine how discouraging it would be being on the front line in a major war like that, especially being on the front line knowing that any day, any moment, that your number could be called. A bomb could go off, you could get shot, and apparently that was the conversation down there on the front line. And things got really, really discouraging down there. And so the sergeant came up to the chaplain and he said, "Chaplain," he says, "look," he said, "you're going to have to help us out here. The guys' morale down here on the front line is getting really low, and they're getting discouraged, and they just want to give up. They're wanting to just give up. It seems like there's no hope down here. They don't think they're going to live through this, and they just soon go ahead and die. I mean, you need to help us out here." And so the chaplain says, "Well, I know what to do. I can take care of this." He sent a young apprentice chaplain down on the front line. He said, "I want you to go down there, and I want you to spend all day with the guys. Spend all day with them, and just be there with them right there on the front line." And so that's what the young chaplain did. He went down and he spent the whole day down there on the front line with the guys. Well, about a week later, the sergeant came running back up. He said, "Chaplain," he says, "look," he says, "the guys are worse than they've ever was." He said, "The morale is just terrible." He says, they just want to give up. And so the main chaplain turned to the young chaplain. He said, "Well, didn't you go down there?" He said, "Yes, sir, I did." And he said, "Well, what did you talk about?" He said, "Well, we talked about the baseball, and we talked about our girlfriends, and we talked about going back home and everything." And the chaplain said, "Oh, stop it right there." He said, "That's it." He said, "Them people need to hear about Jesus." He said, "The only hope they've got is Jesus. The only hope we've got is Jesus." And friends, we need to start talking about Jesus to others, because there's a war going on here too. You know it? Yes. And there's people, you get to the point that you've got no hope. You get to the point you had no hope. I know that I started out in my life. I started out, like anybody else out, just a normal childhood and everything like that. I think I considered myself normal, but the things that start. My wife says, "No, I don't know about that." You know, I think when you're a child, you reach the age of accountability. You know, the whole world runs around or rotates around mom and dad, don't it? Kind of does. You know, nothing, they can't see past the world of their mom and dad. So the whole world kind of rotates around mom and dad. But I believe once a child reaches the age, you know, and I'm not going to try to put a thumbtack on the exact age, but that age of accountability, that's when they start realizing there's another world out there. And there's an empty spot, in other words, and they are a vacuum, and they start trying to fill that thing, that vacuum, with things of the world. It starts out with friends and hobbies and PlayStations and computer games, and I could keep on going and on, and girls, did I say girls, and or guys, if you, according to what sex you are, but it starts filling that void. At that time, friends, is when we need to tell our young people about Jesus. We need to get serious about telling our young kids about Jesus. Don't wait too long to tell them about Jesus. And so, I think we're all like that. I know it happened in my life like that. And that I started filling my life with all the things of the world that I just mentioned, and it graduated, and I kept growing a little bit older, and I filled my life. You know, it started out with bicycles, and it started out with tricycles, and then it went to bicycles, and then it went to motorcycles, and motorcycles to cars to fast cars, and girls, and I got older, and I started wanting to play around with, you know, a faster group living of people, you know, living out in the world. Drinking and smoking and drugs, and I could just go on and on. Money, I tried to make more money. I was trying to fill an empty spot that could only be filled by one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. Friends, we all have got an empty spot that can only be filled by one thing, and that's Jesus Christ. And I want to read a scripture to you in John chapter 6 and verse 35, and listen to what Jesus says. Here, John chapter 6 and verse 35, he says, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." Friends, it's all about Jesus Christ. It's all about Jesus. And see, I lived out there in the world, and I did all the things of the world. And I want you to know, I got to doing, you know, pretty good. I mean, from the world's point of view, I was a CPA. I had a pretty large farm. We were raising probably about 1 million chickens a year, you know, for Tyson Foods. That's who I had a contract with. From the world's point of view, I had it going on pretty good. But I want you to know, I had an empty spot in my heart. And I got to the point where I really didn't want to. I got to the point where I just didn't really even want to get up out of bed because I didn't have anything to look forward to. I'd already tried everything. And I'd gotten into the alcohol and the drugs had really got a hold of me real bad because, you know what, started out just a little bit. You know, it took more and more and more of it until where I was complete slave to all these things. Just a complete slave to them. They had a hold on me. They had a complete hold on me. The whole time, all I needed was Jesus, but I was trying to fill my life with all these other things. And well, my wife had a Christmas party. And where she's an RN, she was an RN, and we were invited to go to this, a hospital Christmas party. She worked in the operating room, and we were invited to go to this. And so we went to the operating room. We went to this Christmas party, and they were going to eat, and then afterwards they were going to have this little, get together dance or something like that. A party is what it was, a party. I'm trying to tiptoe around on that. But God is going to get all the glory here. And so, anyway, I didn't care about anything about eating, but I knew how to mix drinks. And so what I did is I volunteered to run the bar that night. And so I went over and was operating the bar. And I didn't know this, but for about a year, this guy had been praying for me. Now, there's power in prayer. You said your brother was praying for you when you were in the Korean War. I want you to know I had a wife and I had a guy that I did not know that had been praying for me for 1 year. Every day he carried this little prayer book and he would pray for me and pray for our marriage. Okay, because believe it or not, our marriage was not that good because of the lifestyle that I was living. But my wife was praying and he was praying. Well, he came over to visit me. He came over to visit me and we struck up a conversation. He didn't want any alcohol or anything like that, but he just talked to me and he talked to me. And he said, he talked about things, real things. We probably talked for 45 minutes and he left. And I told my wife afterwards, I said, there was something different about that guy. I can't really put my finger on it, but there was something different about him. And you know what she said? She said, he is a Christian. He's a Christian. Well, I had my theory of Christians at that time, and I thought they were a bunch of hypocrites because I would see them, I would hear them say this, and they would do this. They were doing the same things I did. But anyway, this guy really impressed me. He really impressed me. And so he came down to my house, and he told me something that nobody else had ever told me before in my whole life. He says, would you like to study the Bible with me? He said, the Lord has laid you on my heart. Would you like to study the Bible with me? And I said, yes. Now, I want you to know, I was 40 years old, and nobody had ever asked me to study the Bible. I had never heard of a Seventh-day Adventist church in my whole life. But he asked me if I'd like to study the Bible. And then he told me something else I'd never heard. He said, because you know that empty spot I told you I had? He told me, he said, Rick, the reason you're created is for a relationship with Jesus Christ. I didn't know that. You know, I'd kind of wandered around. I never gave it any thought. That the reason I exist on this earth is for a relationship with Jesus Christ. He says, now you've got a choice. He said, you can reject that if you want to. He says, or you can accept it. You can accept it. Friends, I accepted it. And it has changed my life. It has changed my life. For the only deliberate effort we've got to make in this whole big plan of salvation is just saying yes to Jesus. He'll do the rest. If you seek Him, if you invite Him into your heart, He will do the rest in your life. That's how good God is. But this whole Bible can be boiled down to one effort right after another of God seeking to restore like a broken relationship. A broken relationship. Have you ever been rejected by someone? Can you relate to that? You ever had a boyfriend or girlfriend that just broke your heart, you know, rejected you? You know, if you got hurt real bad, your memory can go back there. You know, it hurts. Maybe what's even worse is like a spouse rejecting you. Divorce, going through something like that hurts really, really bad. Maybe you know somebody that's gone through that. It hurts really, really bad. Well, God knows better than anyone else the pain that comes from being rejected by someone that you love very much. He knows that. Over and over, He experiences that daily. You know, daily, He's just waiting on us to wake up in the morning so that we can come to Him in prayer and start that relationship up during the day. You know, He can't wait till you get up. How often, though, do we just get up and we hit that alarm clock and then we run off and we don't even spend time with Him? He knows how it feels to be rejected over and over. That's just part of it. And so we were created for a love relationship with God. You know, I could just imagine the hurt that God experienced with Adam and Eve. Think about that. All the way at the very beginning, Adam and Eve. You know, God created Adam and Eve. Even as He created them, He breathed in him, you know, His breath, the breath of life. You know, the Bible said He just breathed in them. You know, created in God's image. But what did Adam and Eve do? They really rejected God, didn't they? They rejected Him when they believed a lie from Satan above the Word of God. Think about that. That was the first divorce in the whole world right there. Basically, because they trusted Satan above God. Right there. They believe, and that's the only way I want to share this. The only way Satan can get us is when we believe a lie from Satan above the Word of God. That's the reason in these last days that we live in, we need to be living our life by thus saith the Lord. We need to be holding on to the Word of God. The Word of God is a lamp unto our feet in this dark world that we live in. We need to hold on to the Word of God. You know, God would have given anything to make them happy. Anything. He proved that on Calvary, didn't He? He would have given anything to make them happy. But still, they rejected Him. They rejected Him. And they really did. Think about it. Basically, Satan said God was a liar, didn't he? He was the first liar. We know who the liar is, don't we? It's Satan. That's the reason we need to watch it, because he is so deceiving. Satan is so deceiving. So incredibly deceiving. But sadly, our parents, first parents rejected him. And so for 6,000 years, God has had to experience the pain of rejection in his children. Over and over, you see it all the way through the Bible. You see this all the way through. I want you to listen to this scripture in Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53. This prophetic scripture here. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men. Who's the Bible talking about here? Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid, as it were, our faces from him, and he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray, and we have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. Behold the Lamb of God. Behold Jesus Christ up there dying for us on the cross of Calvary. Dying for me and you. Behold him up there dying for you on the cross of Calvary. You know, why did he take those stripes? Think about that. Those stripes, why did he do that? He didn't have to do that. Why did Jesus take those stripes for me and you? Why did he do that? Those stripes, now, that whip, 39 lashes twice is what the historians say. And that whip just wasn't a regular cow whip. But we know that it had bits of bone and metal on that, so that when it would go across his back and come back, that it would just pull and tear. That's what it was designed to do. Why would he do that? Why would he take that crown of thorns? You know, he took a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they said he took a reed and he beat it. Those thorns would penetrate down into his scalp, into his head. Why did Jesus do that? Why did he go through all that? He's God. He could have made an easier way to save us. Why did he go through that? Love. John 12:32. Jesus said, if I be lifted up, talking about the cross of Calvary, I will draw all men unto me. As we behold Jesus Christ lifted up on the cross of Calvary, and we go, oh my goodness, God really must love me. God really must love me that he would go through that for me. I've got a God that cares about me, a God that loves me. And as I dwell on this, as I meditate on this, as I fix my eyes upon Jesus, as I behold the Lamb of God, it does something deep, deep down in my heart. And it draws me away from that grip that the world had on me. As I beheld Jesus Christ, brothers and sisters, dying for me, that God would actually die for me on the cross of Calvary, as I beheld him in the Scriptures, and the Holy Spirit opened up my eyes to the fact that Jesus did that for me, friends. It drew me away from the grip that drugs had on my life. I was a slave to cocaine. I was a slave to crystal meth. And any other thing that you could ever think of, I was a slave to it and been a slave to it for 20 years. But as I beheld Jesus Christ dying for me on the cross, it drew me out of that. And I lost all desire for doing anything like that. I was a compulsive habit to lust. Lust had had a hold on me for over 20 years. Since I was 13 or 14 years old, had a hold on me. As I beheld Jesus Christ dying for that sin that I committed on the cross of Calvary, it freed me from the grip that Satan had on me on that. As I slaved to alcohol for over 20 years of my life, as I beheld Jesus Christ dying for me on the cross of Calvary, I lost all desire to drink that alcohol that nailed my Lord and Savior up on that cross for me, that He shed that blood for me. And I lost all desire for anything like that. And I could go on, and God still is convicting me of sin in my life that I can carry to Him. I'm not there yet, friends, but I want to be. Amen? I want to be more like Jesus because I realize how much He loves me. And as I realize how much He loves me, I love Him. Amen? God is so good. He loves us that much. We need to tell the whole world how much Jesus loves us. Now tonight, what I want you to do, I want you to consider something. I want you to consider this and think about this right here. You've been told your whole life how much you need God. You've been told your whole life. I hope you have. You've been told your whole life how much that you need God. Has it ever crossed your mind how much God needs you? I want to repeat that. You've been told your whole life how much you need God. But has it ever crossed your mind how much God needs you? Now think about this. He wants to embrace you. He wants to hold you. He wants to hug you. He wants to be there for you. We're created in God's image. We know how much we love our own family. We know how much we need our children, don't we? How much we need our mom and dads, or miss our mom and dads. We know. Where do you think you get these feelings from? Where do you just think you created them out of your own goodness? They come from God. God does need you. You do matter to God. You know? You know that feeling that you had when on your own, your little children come up and they said, "Mom or Daddy, I love you." Cindy and I had a wonderful experience just a couple days ago. Our son is in academy at Mount Pisgah, and we're missing him so much. We've got four boys, and he's the last of our little ones, and I didn't want to let go of him. I did not want to let him go, but he went off to boarding academy, and I'm missing him so much. And he sent us a message. It was our anniversary. And he told us how much he loved us. And he thanked us for raising him in a Christian home and telling him about Jesus. And then he told us that if he were to pick a mom and dad, it would be us. Oh, that melted my heart. But could you imagine how God feels when we spontaneously drop on our knees or go to Him in prayer and say, "Lord, thank You for loving me so much. Thank You for Calvary. Thank You for the hope of eternal life. Thank You for helping me through this day that I just got through, or over this mountain I've been trying to climb, or this deep, dark valley. Thank You, Lord. I love You. Thank You." Can you imagine how much how that touches God's heart? There's rejoicing in heaven when you tell God how good He is to you and how much you love Him and how you yearn to spend time with Him and want to grow closer to Him. Oh, I believe God smiles. And I believe it puts a big smile on God's face when you come to Him and tell Him how much you love Him and how much you care about Him. God is head over heels madly in love with you. Don't ever forget that. God is in love with you. He loves you. He cares about you. He needs you in His life. He made you for eternity. Think about that. He made you. I'm not preaching to the church. I'm preaching to you. I'm telling you, He made you for eternity. He knows every hair on your head, the Bible says. He knows you. He knows you. And He still loves you. That's right. Think about that. He knows every detail about you. He knows the closet secrets that you've got. And He still loves you. He still cares about you. That's God. That's God. You say, "Would God miss me if I were lost for eternity?" Would God miss me? Calvary says yes. For God so loved the world the world. That's you. He just didn't love just a flood of people. He loved you personally. He would have died on the cross of Calvary for you. You. He did die on the cross of Calvary. But if it was just you, He would have did that. God loves you. There's no one else like you in the universe. If God loses you, there will be no one to replace you. Think about that. If you reject, and you can still reject this plan of salvation. You can reject. Jesus could have died on the cross in vain for you. You can reject it, but I want you to know there's nobody that can take your place. There's nobody that can take your place. There's going to be an emptiness in God's heart. God is lonely for your love. He's lonely for your love. He can't wait for you to get up in the morning so He can spend time with you. He can't wait for you to send up a silent prayer right now. Right now. He wants to hear from you. He wants to hear from you. There's a place in His heart that can only be filled by your love. Do you believe that now? I've been talking a lot about this, but do you believe what I'm saying? Do you believe what I'm saying? I want to illustrate this. I'm going to pick on the mamas. I'm going to pick on the mamas here to illustrate this. Let's suppose that you had 10 kids, mama. 10 kids. Now picture that. Little Mother Hubbard. Yeah, that's right. Kids running around everywhere. Screaming, shouting, hungry. Yeah, that's right. You got 10 kids. 10 kids. And you got them all outside where they need to be, right? They're outside playing outside where they need to be. And let's say they're playing ball and little Joey goes out for a fly ball. He goes out for a fly ball, but he runs right into the road and he gets run over and he's killed. Little Joey. And I'm the pastor. And I'm contacted to go and comfort you and give you hope. And so I'm thinking, what can I tell? What can I tell my sister? What can I tell her when she's going through this right here? You know, would I make her feel better if I told her, well, it won't take you as much money now because you only got 9 kids. It won't take you, you'll have more money to spend. Would that make her feel better? No, that's not going to make her feel better. Would it make her feel better if I told her that now you're going to have more time? You're going to have more time for yourself and more time to spend with your other 9 children. Is that going to make mama feel better? No. If I tell her that now you're going to have time, you'll be able to rest more now. Is that going to make her feel better? Is it going to make her feel better if I tell her, well, the other 9 can take little Joey's place? The other 9 to take little Joey's place. Is that going to help mama? That's not going to help mama. I tell you what mama's going to say. Nobody can take little Joey's place in my heart. Nobody can take his place in my heart. There's an empty place at the dinner table for little Joey. And it will always be an empty spot. I want to tell you today, believe me, God will hurt if you reject His plan of salvation. God hurts when you don't come running to Him. He loves you. He cares about you very, very much. That's what God wanted you here tonight. He wanted you to know that. The world needs to know that God loves him and cares about him. He's not a God just looking up there for us to go wrong and do something wrong so He can punish us forever and ever and ever. That's not the picture that the Bible paints about the God that loved us so much that he died for us on the cross of Calvary. God loves you. He cares about you very much. So is a mother limited to how many children she can love? I mean, can she just love one child? Can she love 2 children? Can a mama love 3 children? Where do we get this love from? We get it from God. Is the Bible painting a picture of who God really is tonight? And how much Jesus really loves you tonight? It comes from God, every bit of it. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That whosoever believes in Him, that believes I love you. Do you believe God loves you? Will you accept His love? Is what the Bible screams to us right here. God loves you so much. He's calling you by name right now. He's calling you. It's dinner time. And He's calling you. He's calling you by name. You know, that's what the Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. I'm knocking at your heart's door right now. I love you. Will you come in and sup with me? Will you come in and sup with me? Let me just spend time with you. I hope you've heard the message tonight that God loves you, that He cares about you, and He's got a plan for your life. Don't ever forget who you are. Don't let nobody take away your birthright. You are a child of the King. You are a child of the King. Great, praise God. You are a child of the King. And you are created for eternity. You are created for eternity. Praise God for that. Are you willing to follow Jesus? Are you willing to follow someone that loves you so much? You know, someone that loves you that much? Our King, our Lord, our Jesus died for us on the cross of Calvary. Died for us. You know, there's a story in the Bible. It's about the Emmaus Road. It's found in Luke, and it's on the Emmaus Road. And that story is, you know, Jesus had died on the cross, and the disciples were just all messed up. You know, they were all messed up and hurting real bad because their hope for a king. See, their king that they had pictured in their mind was going to be a king that freed them from all their earthly bondage, you know, their Roman bondage and all that. And so when Jesus died on the cross for them, it just crushed them. You know, here He was hung naked on a cross, the most humiliating death there was on the cross of Calvary. And their king, their hope for a leader, was that's the way He died. And so they were walking back from Jerusalem to Emmaus, and they were crushed. And we know the story, don't we? Know Jesus came along beside them, right, and started walking down that road with them. And he could have just, you know, did a big miracle and said, "Here I am," but He chose not to do that. He chose that their faith and their eyes would be opened up through the Scriptures. Because what He did is He took them back all the way to the beginning of the Bible. At the beginning, Genesis, the writings of Moses, and walked them through the Bible on all the things that Jesus fulfilled in prophecy. And as their eyes were opened up, they realized that Jesus, in fact, was the Messiah. That Jesus, in fact, was the King. Praise God for prophecy. Praise God for prophecy. Amos 3:7, I would do nothing without telling the prophets. Praise God. And Jesus revealed to them. He wanted their faith to be built on a thus saith the Lord. Not their feelings, not expressions, or not what mama said or grandma said or anything else. He wanted their faith to be built on a thus saith the Lord. And their eyes were opened up. The Holy Spirit, as they started seeking the truth of Jesus Christ in the Word of God, like we've got to do, their eyes were opened up and they realized that their king was willing to die for them. Their king, instead of sending the soldiers out on the front line, their king was willing to get up and take the bullet, to take the front line bullet, got on the front line and died for them. That's the king that they had. So they ran all the way back to Jerusalem. And it said, Jesus really is a king. He loves us. He cares about us. And we need to be screaming the same message. We need to tell. And that's what they did. Go read the book of the New Testament now, since I've told you this. And you see how they opened up the eyes to everyone. They carried them back in the prophecies. They carried them back in the Word of God. And let the Word of God reveal that Jesus Christ was in fact the Messiah and the King. That's where our faith is at, brothers and sisters. In the Word of God. Praise God for Jesus that loves us so much that He died for us. And you know what? He died for us on purpose. He went through what He went through to save us. John 12:32, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. As we open up the Bible now and we put the cross of Calvary right in the center of everything, all these prophecies in the Old Testament, all the prophecies will come to a new light and we'll see that God is love, that He loves us, and that He cares about us. Are you willing to turn your eyes upon Jesus? Let's sing that song together. Let's sing that song. And we just sing the chorus. We don't have to. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. Amen. Join me in prayer. Father in heaven, yes, Lord, we praise You tonight for the love that You have for us. Lord, to think that we really matter to You, that You really, really care for us, that we were created for You, that we were created for You, that we were created by You, that we were created for eternity. Thank You, dear Lord. Thank You for the love that's revealed from the cross of Calvary. Thank You for the way it screams to us how much You care about us and how much You love us. Lord, we pray for the Holy Spirit to burn in our heart tonight. Don't let us leave this place here without realizing how much You care about us, Lord. And that we could tell the whole world how much You love us. Pour out Your Spirit upon us, Lord. Baptize us with Your presence through the Holy Spirit, that we could go out with power and tell others that we could witness of Your love and how good You are, that we could fill this church up tomorrow night. And in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we're going to be talking about Jesus all the rest of the week, every night. Please, go out and tell somebody. It's going to be good hearing about Jesus. Tell somebody to come and let's talk about Jesus every single night. Yeah, we're going to talk about the love of Jesus tomorrow night, too. So come on back. God bless you.